Hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I see and I hear somebody.
The new way, no?
Yes, that's quite crazy and
You should try to teach ballet class like this.
yeah, I have seen a video of your teaching with your principal dancer, Madukai Sugai.
Yes, Madoka, yeah.
I don't know whether I pronounce well her name.
Yes, Madoka.
So, was it a pleasure for you and for her or not to do this?
Yes, absolutely. We were just started and we were all very unsure of what was happening.
Yeah.
And well, we talked to John a little bit, and he was also saying how he really feels that what is a dancer if a dancer cannot move and
Yeah.
dance and.
Yeah.
And so we decided to first make the video to give the dancers some offer to train. Also that the public, the audience who were not being able to come to performances could see something of the dancers.
Yeah.
And that grew into then the school started doing the Zoom classes where you have like we have now, but you
Okay.
have many squares. And John was very impressed because he said that there were students in the last class, in the eighth class of the theater class of the school, and they had all been sent home. And with the different time differences, there were dancers in Japan and Australia waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning to take their daily class. And they were so enthusiastic and so doing this. And we started similarly to give the dancers of the company training. And we actually didn't really have a meeting with the ballet masters, but we just started to do it very organically. And the dancers also, you could tell in the beginning it was very full, and then slowly come to realize that many in the dance world were doing the same thing and have been. There are online classes you could always take and things like this, but it became a real sort of new branch of the business. And some people were very fancy and had a whole website, seminars and everything all together. Some people experimented with choreography this way. So, you know, it was like the only option somehow. And thank goodness for technology. I'm the generation when technology came to us, you know? So I have always been a little bit like skeptical. And I must say, I found something positive
Yeah.
in this way that we could connect at least a little bit.
Yes, because it seems to be quite contrary to your art, what you are doing. It's very physical, you know, you are touching one another and even, you know, the floor, and it's very much about the contrary of virtuality. So
Yes.
it's a bit strange.
Very strange.
Yeah, what did you learn by this? But because I think we can talk, and perhaps we will, about the difficulties and the lags and so all this stuff, of course, but there is a lot. It was really hard time, or is still for a lot of people, and almost people who are performing like you. But there have been a lot of good things to learn, perhaps to experience. Which
Yeah,
are these
and
good
I
for
think
you?
that's always in this kind of experience to go through and find the good things from it, because it is difficult and it is scary, and we're not sure how we're going to come out of this and when it will start again and when how we can start again in this. So I think it is important that we look at the positive things. I think, well, one thing positive is that we have more time. You know, never ever did I have time to really live with my children. You know, we are both working parents and working very hard with the company. We spend as much time as we can with the children, and they know that. They know the life that we lead, and they've been a little bit, both of our children were in the ballet school. Our oldest daughter was and is singing now, and our youngest son, he's in the ballet school. So they have a taste of the dedication that it takes to do this art form. But we have really once a day or more, a time when we're actually sitting all together and speaking to each other, really about not the usual scheduling problems, but what was your day like? Are you feeling okay? How are you? Of course, we've heard that you should really, you know, make sure that your children are doing okay in this time and ask. So, and that's, let's say we've had maybe more time to communicate than normal. In the normal run of business as usual, we get things done, we get things done, we get things done. And in this way, so I think one of the big positive things for me has been the communication aspect. And it's also made that I communicate with myself more, have more time to quietly think about things. I'm better when things are quiet to think. I like to do things. And then when you can't do anything, so you have time to really, we say in English, take stock, you know, to review. For example, one thing is with the parenting. A similar thing is with teaching classes, the ballet class. We've had time to experiment a little bit and try to develop new ideas or develop ideas a little further and work with the dancers on these quiet things because we can't move grand jeté across this big space. So we're talking about how one stands and how does this position change into that position? How is that? We have time to do that. And this is really wonderful that real training, not just preparing for the day, but real training has come back into our lives. One would hope that you would always have that, but with the amount of repertoire that we do and the time we take to prepare the performances and things, sometimes class can become a good preparation for the day. But now, because there's very few professions, I think, where you actually take a class every day. We start our day as dancers taking a class, coming in and still trying to improve in a group environment in this way. And this this special thing has really gone to the forefront right now of our work. Another positive thing is as a family, we've bonded closer together. And I think as a company also, we've bonded closer together. And it goes more and more and more. I think as a community in Hamburg, we've bonded closer together. Everybody is trying to get through this together. And hopefully, I think because of also the connectivity, we've realized how connected the world is with all these technical tools that we have.
In a positive and in a negative way, you have both sides of one coin. Yes. Every time.
So it's nice now we're slowly coming back to the centrum, the ballet centrum, to take classes in the big ballet saal. We have 8 or 9 or 10 classes a day for small groups, so that we maintain social distancing. They've organized the movements from the dressing rooms. So it's 1 or 2 people in each dressing room only per class. It's very complicated to manage, but it's managing. And it's really wonderful for the dancers to be able to be back in a big space where they can really fulfill their physicality, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So that's good. As far as the next step, I mean, there's small groups working on this ballet of John's called Ghost Light. I had my first rehearsal today as a ballet master because I've been sort of teaching the classes, and we kind of separate all the duties. There's a group of ballet masters teaching classes and a group that are helping assist with the ballet. So I started today with the ballet, and it's a very interesting atmosphere. It's just a dancer and John in a studio quietly with no sense of here comes a deadline. We have to get this piece done. We have to do this. It's just really wonderful to watch.
You have a lot of time you haven't normally to prepare new
Yes.
Yeah.
I see. So he's really feeling like at some point going back to the original feeling of being a choreographer. Mm-hmm. Here's a body. I have a vision. There's a movement. There's a, you know, such, it's really wonderful to inspiring to see how he is even embracing the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, what can we do? Okay, let's do, because it's important, the doing.
Yeah.
To, for a dancer, you have to do to have your identity. If you can't dance, you don't have your identity somehow. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting.
And how the dancers who are actually working with John Neumeier are reacting to this new situation, to work alone and
I think it's wonderful. I think because we've had this isolation for so long before, that, I mean, the first day in the Centrum, each class that I taught, the dancers, it was like, oh, this joy of space and being able to move really freely. And then, of course, everyone in Hamburg Ballet, the dream is to work with John on a new choreography.
Yeah.
And everyone in the company is getting that chance now because it's small groups. So he really has, you know, time with each person. And so it's a dream for the dancers. They're really enjoying it. And we're always left with this feeling we want more, because there's an hour rehearsal and then it has to have a half hour break so that the room can, the Umluftung can,
okay,
can change, and the dancers have to go to their dressing rooms and get out of the Ballet Centrum. The next one comes in, et cetera, et cetera. So it's always like, oh, we want more. But
yeah. So you can know each other. I think you, in this company, you know each other quite well, or John must know, of course, each dancer very well. He's choosing them. And so, of course, it's natural. And you too, I think, because you have an important position in this company. But I can imagine that now with the slowdown, it's a new situation to know even better with more time. And
imagine when I teach a morning class with the company, we always have two classes usually, sometimes just one. So imagine 60 dancers on a stage teaching a class, or like we have daily 30 dancers, 30 men and 30 women in each one class. So normally I would have 30 dancers for an hour and 15 minutes. And now I have six. So it's wonderful, because and sometimes there's four or sometimes eight, or, you know, and it's, you can really take one dancer, look at them and see, really study them so that you can really find a pathway to help them with their technique.
Yeah. So they don't lose. They even can improve their capacities. And
yes.
Yeah. Yes. I see that. Yeah.
And you create a relationship also, the dancer learns you better.
Yeah.
So they also gain more from the class, because they know kind of where your priorities are.
Yeah.
So they can focus on those things. And you get to know the dancer as a teacher, so you can better help them to shape themselves into the best they can be. Yeah.
That's quite great. So these are positive aspects. Are there difficult, not to say negative, aspects too?
The whole thing is difficult.
Now, that's to say, because everybody tries to say, oh, I learned this, I learned that. But, you know, on the whole, it's...
Yeah, I will not soft step around. It's difficult situation. And with the theaters closed, there's a hole in all of our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, that there is no live theater to be experienced. Mm. You know, I don't want to see another film or a television show. I want to go to the theater and I want to be moved by human beings on a stage.
Yeah, but that's the same for the spectators, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, it was quite interesting. Of course, it still can be when you have access to a video or something you would never have had before. There have been some videos on Hamburg Ballet or different companies in Paris, Opera Ballet. You saw things you could never see before, and theater, all kind. But that's great for a certain time. Mm-hmm. After having looked at a lot of videos, you feel this big difference, you know.
Yes.
There's no presence. It's not at all the same thing.
And I must think also, because a lot of my job now is to sit in the audience.
Yeah.
And watch the performances and watch the development of the performance, watch the development of the company, of the audience. And this feeling of community, this togetherness that you feel with an audience when you're sitting, when you're in an audience and you feel together with everybody watching. Also, this is difficult to replicate any other way, you know. And I'm sure that the dancers also feel this emptiness of the work is wonderful to work on a new piece. It's wonderful, but especially for me, I always love performing.
Yeah,
I always love to be on a stage and to give my everything to 1,500 people or 1,600 people, and try to make a connection somehow, and to give them something. And I think this aspect, this of an artist to be able to give yourself, this is probably, I think with all artists, this is probably the most difficult thing to deal with right now, is you need a venue. You need a place to go as a community in this way to tell a story and communicate with each other.
Yeah, to share, yeah.
Yeah.
About sharing, real sharing, you know, with the physical presence. It's not the same stuff, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But I have been speaking with a lot of directors of different kind of theaters in Hamburg and other spots. And the question I'm asking to myself now in this moment, because we have a big thing, you know, big part of this Corona thing in Germany.
Yes.
Behind us, I hope so, perhaps yes. There will be a second one, but so to speak, even if we can expect or must expect that there will be other kinds of this kind of virus, you know, so how to deal with this? Is this the right or correct kind of answering to it? My question to you is not a political question, because you are a dancer. But you receive the answers of the politicians too. Do you find that the restrictions for the performance arts, because I see around me now most people are coming back to their normal life.
Yes.
But not so theaters.
Yeah.
And that's a bit strange, you know. I see a lot of young people now. It's a beautiful day, you know, sitting on the Elbe and everybody together, and there's nothing anymore, and I think it's okay.
Yeah. But
what about theater, ballet?
I do believe the theater presents a special problem, because I can imagine also, I think soon I heard that maybe movie theaters might begin to open.
Yeah.
That with a lower capacity in the audiences and things like this. The real problem for us, for example, is we're not only a certain group of dancers on the stage, obviously. There's all the technical people who live there and work there. There's the, you know, the musicians in the orchestra pit, how to solve this problem. So there's the live theater has a multi-layered kind of problem with it. I think that the Hamburg Ballet is trying to deal with those different difficulties, maybe taking a few of the layers away for the moment before we put it all, you know, this Gesamtkunst kind of thing together again.
Yeah.
I think the audience, it's possible to, I've even seen some theaters now, they take some chairs out and...
Yeah, we saw these pictures in the...
Yeah, so...
Papers.
This, the Zuschauerraum, it's not the biggest hurdle, you know. The challenge is really, we have, you know, the technical department, the dancers, the musicians, there's costume people. And I mean, before any of that happens, the dancers have to start to be able to touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand the restrictions. When something like this happens, we do live as a dance in the Hamburg Ballet, for example, and every ballet company there is, it is a small microcosm community. We work very close together. When we're on, usually when we're on tour, but if one dancer gets a cold, it can go through the company very easily. I mean, it's always important. to listen to the scientists, to listen to the science, to listen to the facts. I hope that they've learned from this time, if this ever unfortunately would happen again, that they learn this time about how to really right away, not to try anything in the beginning, but right away do this. And then, and it always seems there's these 2 week periods that maybe we can really catch it fast so that we can go quicker through it. I don't know. I hope that this was just a really once in a lifetime happening.
We all hope so. I think so. But I think we have to learn from this tool. We can. We have to.
Mm-hmm.
In any way. You do it artistically, as you explained. And I think as a society, we have to look further too. So not just say, all it's gone now and then, but we have to think about. And I think one question which can bring us back a little bit more to the artistic point of views is I think what we are living about, actually, it's a lot about death. Death has been put outside of our modern life.
Yes. Yeah?
But art, especially John Neumeier's ballets, are speaking a lot of death.
Yeah.
And integrate this moment into life, or try to do.
Yeah.
And so I think this would have been something to think much more about than it's actually done. And perhaps the arts, or especially the Hamburg Ballet, can contribute to this kind of, not discussion, but consideration, meditation, perhaps
yes.
is a better word for what
I... Yeah, I think, I mean, I believe when we can finally get back to our repertoire, what will be really interesting to see is how our John's repertoire really speaks to those things also. You know, he speaks a lot of you know, the Second World War, or of war in general, of strife, of these kind of problems in general. This, like you say, the text is there. It's always interesting to see in light of world events how things from the past, how ballets from the past or whatever still speak to us today. Or, you know, I think this question of death is also probably the unspoken, really bad thing about the coronavirus time. Because if I were to be really honest, you're right, I try not to think about it. But in America, in New York City, you know, in America, they reached the 100,000 death mark about a week ago, I think.
Yeah.
And it continues to rise. And in Italy, it was just terrible. The, you know, some of our Italian dancers were really saying, you know, please, everybody, they were living in Italy, they were stuck in Italy. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, if we were relatively here in Hamburg, you don't see much. But those from Italy were saying, you know, you don't know what it's like to see trucks driving down the street and know that they're full of bodies. So please, you know, do what they tell you to do. Take care and all. You know, they were really don't take it lightly, because you don't feel that it touches you, this kind of quarantine time and things like that. Because they were really faced with these things, like in America, in New Orleans with Hurricane Katrina, when the football stadium became just where they put the bodies, you know. And that's this fear of will it happen to you, or you know. I think this fear is really the worst thing to live with, I think. And when you consider the amount of death that came about this time, it's really, really scary.
But fearing is not facing, you know. Facing is really to take it in and to become aware that we are mortal beings. Everybody is.
Yeah.
No matter.
Well, I think my answer to that is that I can only live to the most of my ability. I can, and what I love about being a dancer is that I don't only get to live for the best of my ability for myself. I get to live and try to make other people's lives something more valuable, or I get to put a little input into their life, to hopefully inspire them, to hopefully make them want to live, you know. And that's, in the face of death, it seems may be simple, but it's really the only thing that I can do. You know, I wish I was a doctor or a scientist that could help to find a cure. Mm-hmm. But I'm a dancer and a dance person and a teacher, and what I can do is remind people that they're alive and that they can they can experience, and by experiencing things you are alive.
Yeah.
And it's not to, you know, the it's not to disregard the death, but to not let it drag you down, and we have to kind of keep moving forward, I think.
Yeah. But facing that this way makes you more alive.
Yes.
That's what you just told.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the points, perhaps, yeah, to understand.
Yeah. And I think that's why the arts and especially and dance is so important.
Yeah.
That, and I thank God that we live in Germany, where there is a special consideration in Europe, many countries, a special consideration for the artists and for the theaters and for the, this was like from the second day of the quarantine time, you know, we heard there's going to be a consideration for this part of our lives, that we believe this is an important part of our lives. I'm American.
Yeah.
So for me, it's such a amazing thing to live in a place that really values its cultural institutions and just culture in general.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear, because of course the people who have been living all the time here have not this kind of point of view as you have. That's interesting.
Yeah, I have a great appreciation for living here and in Hamburg, where we have such wonderful support.
Yeah.
But in Germany with Angela, she's, you know, and everybody, it's just, it's really, really important, because without that, you know, in America, my mother had a small ballet company in Orlando, Florida, in America. She founded, it's still going, the Orlando Ballet, but it was every day a fight. Every day going to people with the hands open. And in every company like this is in America, they would look at me and say, yeah, but that's everybody. Yes, I know, but with so little support from the government, with not even support as much as just recognition that this is a valuable part of our lives,
yeah.
You know, and it's a good thing to be here that we don't take it for granted, to remind everybody, you know, this isn't how it is everywhere, you know.
Yeah, it's good, I think, to remind this point. So, Mr. Riggins, I would like to speak a bit too about your personal dancer career, because you are one of the dancers who have been dancing for the longest time and are still doing it, I think, with John. And that's really amazing, you know. And I think I would like to take the possibility to speak a little bit about this, because you have such a great experience as a dancer, but especially in this company.
Yeah.
So what are you, with all this experiences, all this time, and so you are treasuring the most about your dancing life and your experience?
Oh, goodness.
Difficult question.
The greatest treasure now, I'm 50.
Yeah.
And the greatest treasure, the greatest treasure is that I'm still allowed to go on stage sometimes. The greatest treasure is that I am still in love with it. Just that I'm still a dancer, for me, that is something I treasure greatly. I'm as 50 now, I've become many different things, a father and a husband and a teacher and a ballet master and stellvertretende director. But I think, this is, for me, really a great gift to still be able to perform. But all of it is, all of the different parts of me, I would never want to choose one over another. I'm very fortunate It was interesting now just to see the videos when we had our online program mm-hmm. of the company and see the Death in Venice and Matthew's Passion and even Swan Lake and yeah. all these ballets from my time in the company. And it's wonderful nostalgia to remember. And I think I'm most happy with the fact that when I look back at those things, I don't say, wow, I'm really great now because I was such a great principal dancer, or because I, you know, I won this award, or I did that role, or I try to be the best I can who I am today. And when I watch a video, I think, okay, good. I hate watching myself on video.
Yeah.
I don't know many
dancers. Most people do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to report that I don't live in the past. I think the dancer's life is very difficult because you understand when we do our job, the moment we do it, it's gone. Because like I do a dance for you and you take it and you have it. And I give it freely and with passion and love and commitment. But I can't tell you what to do with it. So, and there is usually no record. I've been dancing 25 years now in Hamburg Ballet.
Yeah.
And there's a few videos. And luckily we had a few recordings of videos to make, which is wonderful. That's also a big gift. But most of the performances are not on record. They're in your minds and hearts. And so to try to hang on to those moments as an older dancer, it's not so healthy, I think, you know?
Yeah, of course.
It's always good to remember. Interesting, when I look now, I look more as a teacher and say, oh, I could have thought about that better, or that was a connection that I missed, or mm-hmm. or now I understand what John was saying to me, why he wanted me to do that, you know?
But you have to be merciful with yourself, I think. it's important for other people too, you are teaching to now, you know?
Yeah, and I try to make it positive, whereas I used to hate to watch myself. Now I say, okay, I will watch myself, but I will make something positive that I can give to a younger dancer, or if somebody's doing that role or something that I mm-hmm. that I can articulate now that I couldn't then when I was a young dancer.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see the evolution of the company in all this time you have been there?
Yeah, it's interesting because, like I said, you get to know them as individuals much more mm-hmm. than in the normal working process. And that is one thing I will want to hold on to, is really trying to keep learning the dancers much more closely, even if we go back to our normal schedule. That I don't want to give up. Yeah. But I think the company, I think it's a big open possibility how it will develop. I think dancers are dancers, and they just want, like I said, they want a stage to be able to give their life's work every night. I think they will be more hungry for it when we return to the stage, which will really create, I think, some amazing performances from each person in the company. But the Hamburg Ballet has always been about Hingabe, has mm-hmm. always been about commitment and fullness of a moment. There, we always say there is no second performance, you know. That performance you're doing, that's it. That's the one and only. There was nothing before, nothing after. You do it. Everything you've got goes to that moment. Mm-hmm. And we've always lived like that. So I think that will continue to thrive. We're just waiting now for the stage.
Yeah.
And the touch.
Yeah, the spectators too.
Oh, we're waiting for just to see each other and give each other a hug and start dancing together. And, you know, this is really missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully that this will happen soon. Yeah, really. I hope this for everybody. And
Yeah. I can't believe it. I just said 25 years in Hamburg Ballet. I can't believe it's true. My gosh.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a question about time too, I think, because you spoke about this present moment, which is the center of, I think, every performing art. Just there and then it's gone and there is no past, no future. But if you look back or you look forward, like you do it when you have a birthday, you know, you think about your life. And so, and then it becomes a story.
Yeah.
Before, if you look at every moment, there's no story.
Right.
That's interesting, I think.
That's the joy of growing older. Yeah. I like to grow older because I get to put the pieces together and see, oh my gosh, you know, what a wonderful experience, what a difficult experience, what came out of the hard things and the...
But sometimes we have special memories, not as stories, but as present moments, which remain precious, like something which can nourish. I feel so about art. Of course, it's not for everybody. Moments, it's like flashes and I have this inside me and it's living there. Even I can't find it on a video. That's interesting. It's not there. I saw lately the video on Nijinsky. I don't remember the title, where John Neumeyer was speaking about this artist. Of course, I treasure a lot too. And it's interesting because there is no video of him.
Yeah.
And he said that, of course, that's a grace not to have any.
Exactly.
And I think because it's fixing something which can't be fixed. It's not just the body who is jumping.
Yes.
It's much more than this.
Live performance. You can watch a video, you know, and... You know, to have seen Nureyev on all those videos, you know, wonderful. But if you saw him live, you could only understand the power.
Yeah.
That when he walked on stage, 2,000 people just went, okay, we surrender.
Good example. Yeah.
You know, and I was always happy I was of the generation before really the YouTube started. Mm. Because it's a wonderful thing for young dancers to be able to be exposed to a lot. But I like a little mystery.
Yeah.
I think that's the mystery of the theater, the mystery of those people up there. I don't want to know them too well. I want to be mystified. I want to be, you know, I want to have magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. So let's go back.
That's why we need the live theater.
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thank you really very much.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, great to talk to you and hopefully to see you in the theater dancing, performing, or looking
I'm sure we will.
Yeah, or looking at your company, what they are doing on scene now. That will be, I think, a great experience, really.
Yeah.
So really thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.